Breakfast puppies?
This podcast contains adult language and content and is meant for mature audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
We're all set to begin, so let's dive right in to Bikers, Dice, and Bars. Talking bicycles and motorbikes, gamer things and all the like. You can listen to it in your cars, but mostly it's about dive bars. Bikers, Dice, and Bars.
Dr. Xander Gerrymander, what are you drinking this evening?
I am drinking the Beak Breaker Double IPA out of Pelican Brewing, which has several locations.
Yes.
This one is from Tillamook, apparently, and they have another one. Where's the other one?
Let's see. Pacific City.
Yeah, that sounds right. Yeah, Pacific
Cannon
City.
Beach, Cannon Beach. Lincoln City.
Oh, they have a couple now. I don't know if the two.
They are now all over the coast.
Okay. Just like Pelicans. That makes sense.
Just like Moe's.
Oh, it actually is. For location, it just says Oregon Coast, USA.
Yeah.
Okay, that's funny.
I may or may not have done a Highway 101 run from Pelican to Pelican to Pelican to Pelican.
I mean, they're a good brewery, man.
And their food's on point.
This one's 9% ABV. Okay. 90 IBU. Okay. This is going to break a beak.
Yes, I guess speaking of beak, and you're listening to Bikers, Dice, and Bars here in Portland, Oregon. I'm NPC.
I'm just Jacob.
Dr. Xander Gerrymander.
I am Poppy Beaujolais. I am Poppy.
We need to adjust Poppy's idol, it sounds like.
Yeah, this is very hoppy. It's a little...
No, Poppy.
But I said it's a little hoppy.
Continue.
It is more malty than I would expect it to be, honestly, but... It is quite nice. I like it. It has Mosaic, Citra, and Centennial hops, in case you are curious. A little citrusy, a little tropical-y. No, I think this is a very drinkable beer.
And I think, Poppy, you've got a Pelican beer.
I
over there
have
too.
A Pelican Pilsner hopping on the... Sorry.
Wow.
Pelican Pilsner. There we go. That's hard. this is at a 4.5% ABV, 35 IBU.
Really?
Yeah.
That's pretty high for a Pilsner.
It's really high for a Pilsner because it's Oregon. But it's hoppier. It's a little hoppier and bitter than I like in a Pilsner because I'm like Pilsners and lagers. Mm-hmm. But it's totally drinkable.
Excellent. Yeah. I've been having their Haze Stack. Mm-hmm. Double hazy IPA lately, and it's been quite delightful, especially when you get that really ice cold.
So my exposure to their food was at one of their locations, which was literally like right there on the water. I want to say it's a Pacific City location.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it has a massive parking lot and essentially just sort of sitting all by itself right there on the water.
It's like the reason to go to Pacific City.
Pretty much. And they had some of the best fucking barbecue sauce I've ever had in my life. It was just homemade barbecue sauce that was full of bacon chunks. It was just, and it was hot. It was just hot barbecue. Oh my God. Just thinking about it right now, I'm hungry.
I am actually watching his nipples get hard in real life, in real time. It's pretty incredible. Also, their Hefeweizen is... one of the best American Hefeweizens I've ever had.
Mm.
It is everything I want out of one. Those kind of like banana clove notes, you know, it's like 4.5. You can drink like five of them and be fine. Just enjoy that flavor. It's light, you know, it's great.
They make my second favorite cream ale.
The pre-prohibition cream ale is my favorite beer by them. Absolutely.
Don't they make another cream ale?
Yeah, they make like
the Kiwanda.
The Kiwanda.
That's the one I'm thinking of. Yeah.
The pre-prohibition, if you can find it's good, but you can't go wrong with the Kiwanda.
I want to say we might have had the pre-prohibition here.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of pre-prohibition, you're listening to Bikers, Dice, and Bars.
let's do it. Though, did we not?
No, we did.
We did?
Yeah.
Oh, God. I'm still drinking the sour from the last episode, and I'm kind of sauced.
is sauced on the sour while we're popping pilsners.
But who are you, sir?
I am NPC. We've already done that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Remember, my idol needed adjusted.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Yeah, but this episode is going to be a gag reel.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I didn't think we introduced ourselves so far. Yeah. We just kept talking about pelicans.
Isn't that? Didn't you say that was 9%?
Yeah, I did, but we didn't introduce the show.
Trust me, when you go back and listen to it, you'll be, God damn it.
Okay. This episode's going to be fun.
Yeah. But you know what's not fun? Dead motorcycle batteries.
Yeah. Oh, word.
That sounds
word.
Like the pits.
Oh my God. It really was. I had to change mine recently. It's the first time I ever changed a battery on a bike. Changed them on cars before, but turns out just as easy. It was much less.
On your bike.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It was much, much less of a pain in the ass than I was expecting it to be.
And what do you ride again, NPC?
I've got a Suzuki Boulevard. It's a C50T, and so it's a cruiser. I love that bike, but for some reason Suzuki decided to put the model number in inches instead of CCs.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a 50 CI engine, but all of its documents are 805 CC.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a Volusia. They just wanted to try and win over the Harley riders or something. Oh.
And her name is Loretta, right? Loretta. Yeah.
So you walked out and the bike wouldn't start, eh?
Man, I had it all winter and spring because I
worked
the last
from home
few
hell.
Months, if not years, have been tough finding a reason to leave the house. And the longer you stay inside, the harder it is to get out. It's not so much of a shut-in as it is more of a, if I go out, I have to interact with the unwashed masses. So I just keep finding less and less of a reason to go anywhere other than the walking distance. So I've decided to finally, I'll start riding my motorcycle. That's a thing I like to do. I'll start doing that again. Turns out I left it in a garage for 3 seasons without attaching it to a battery tender.
Yep.
And nope, dead battery.
What's a battery tender? What's it for?
Battery tenders are an attachment to your battery, very easy to install. They go right over the connectors on batteries and then have a little dongle that you can either tuck under the saddle, tuck next to the saddle, tie off to the frame with a zip tie. There's lots of different ways to do it. And then all you do is hook the second part of the unit to the wall and plug the dongle into its connector. And it slowly, slowly trickle charges your battery and keeps it topped up. And most of the good ones have a discharge cycle where it lets it drain itself down a little bit and then tops it back up. And it's great for when you have a bike that's going to be sitting for a while or during the time of the year where you're not riding, if you're one of those people. Or if you're a person who has an unfortunate motorcycle habit and has multiple bikes and you don't know which one you're going to ride every day, or if you live in the Pacific Northwest and it's wet and cold in the winter, which can pull down the drain in your battery, the charge in your battery.
How does that happen?
Well, that's chemistry. All motorcycle and scooter batteries are lead acid. There are some lithium batteries on the market, but one of the side effects is cold and wet weather basically just gets the electrolyte suspension to release the charge slowly.
I know we don't usually talk about cages, but my first car was a 1983 Pontiac Bonneville, and it actually had a cord coming out of the battery. So you could plug the car battery engine / engine into a regular house outlet to keep it warm.
I'm from the upper Midwest. Car heaters are a reality.
Exactly. Yeah. This car came from Detroit.
Yep.
It had a core heater. Yeah. So similar kind of ish thing.
Yeah. I mean, the difference there is that's heating things up to keep the oil moving.
Turnover.
This is specifically for the electrical charge. Yeah. And I highly, highly recommend everybody get a trickle charger for their motorcycle for a couple different reasons. One, if you're not going to ride for a while, it prolongs your battery life. You know, the more often you let a battery go to almost zero or zero charge, the shorter the lifespan of the battery. Two, for many people out there who are not as lucky as NPC, pulling a battery out of a motorcycle on some makes and models can be a pain in the ass. Mm-hmm. It's not quite as bad as doing a full top end job on your engine, but the number of parts I've seen people have to take out off their bike in order to get their battery out and around other components can sometimes be impressive as hell. So prolong the battery. And thirdly, if you're an urban rider, you may not be making it up to the speeds that your motorcycle needs to bring the charge back up to the battery just by driving. And if you're like, let's say you're in Portland and you're driving to and from work and never getting above 22 miles an hour because Portland traffic sucks, your battery may not be topping itself back off because you're not hitting that sweet spot that a lot of motorcycles need above 35 miles an hour to start kicking charge back into the battery.
If I'm a scooter rider, and am, do I need one of these as well?
Yeah, you do, unfortunately.
Is there still the 35 mile an hour kind of threshold count? Because some don't only go about that speed.
It's a little bit different for a scooter. Partially, scooters tend to have a lot less secondary electronics. Much more simplified electronics. So the amount of power that needs to come on to run those auxiliaries and, you know, dash lights and the computer and all of the other stuff is lower. Plus, it's a side effect of how the recharge system works on scooters. The lower miles per hour gets you exactly the same thing because of it all depends on the charging. When you get into scooters, it gets weird because scooters have different model scooters charge the battery back up in very different ways. And okay. So it's a lot harder. It's a little more complicated with scooters. It's not as bad as when you get to snowmobiles and then it's a wild, wild west, but you know,
I do have one for my bizarro scooter and never had a problem with the battery dying. I mean, my scooter just doesn't like to start sometimes cause she's salty, but.
Mm-hmm. And there are three basic types of batteries used for scooters and motorcycles. There's the classic wet cell, you know, the ones that a lot of us who are older grew up. I'm sure Xander has never seen one of these, which
what's power steering?
Have you ever driven a rack and pinion car? Anyway,
what's a phone booth?
But
what's a wet elf?
Touche. A lot of older motorcycles originally came with a battery much like what you'd find in like an 80s car, where there's the plastic cap that if you pry it off, you can look right down into the wet cylinders on the top of the battery where the fluid, the electrolyte mix, the acid for the lead acid got poured in. That's how batteries operated for a long time. Heck, if you go back and look at like the 1913 through late 20s motorcycles, they had open chamber batteries.
What?
Mm-hmm.
What?
No plastic cap. They were just exposed to the air. Yeah. It's imagine it raining on that.
That was my next question. What if it rains in there?
Yeah, you slowly dilute. Those are older. They are generally not found on modern motorcycles. Many older motorcycles can be adopted to one of the two more modern forms of batteries. But on some custom-built motorcycles and some older motorcycles, due to issues with how those charging systems work, you have to use a open-cell lead-acid battery.
Whoa.
Partially because due to the refinements we have nowadays not being made, batteries could explode. And so having the open cell allowed for off-gassing and overrun and stuff. However, lead acid batteries are more prone to terminal corrosion, which means, and if you're in a motorcycle, which is a tight space around the battery, unlike a car where it's usually separated, that corrosion and that white gunk will start spreading over other engine compartments. Whoa. And you'll get pitting. And I don't know, I helped a person do a complete spark plug and spark cable job on a Nighthawk motorcycle from the 80s because they had a wet acid battery in there, and it corroded and started eating into the cables.
Ooh.
The other two kinds, AGM, which is lead acid, but in a glass silica matrix, is a sealed battery, comes from the factory sealed. It endures far better because the other problem with wet acid is that, you remember what I was talking about, wet and cold?
Uh-huh.
Those original wet lead acids are really, really prone to getting pulled down in wet, cold weather. The third one is gels, which is an entirely different thing. Price point is exactly how I listed them. The cheapest are wet cells. AGMs are the middle of the road. Gels are the most expensive. If you can afford it, I recommend a gel if you live in the Pacific Northwest or anywhere where it gets wet and cold on the reg. But yeah.
So I don't know much about wet cell batteries, honestly. I mean, sounds like could they freeze, or do they have an antifreeze mechanism?
So theoretically, any battery can freeze.
Okay.
Is
that depending on what temperature?
it all depends on the temperature. In actuality, lead acid batteries, from my understanding and experience, are actually less prone to freezing than AGMs, glass mesh batteries. Partially for the way the concoction works. You'll get ice crystals formed in there, but it won't freeze.
Okay.
Kind
of like alcohol.
Yeah, basically. It's the same thing. So it is impossible to freeze a motorcycle battery. It does indeed happen. Growing up in Minnesota, I do know a couple people who ruined their batteries by leaving them out in the shed, and they did hit the negative numbers you need to.
I was going to say, it has to be like negative 40.
I mean, anytime after you go below negative 20, you're running into the territory.
Okay.
But yeah. And then, you know, gels are the way to go, in my opinion, if you can afford them. If you can't afford them, go for AGM. It'll work great.
What's a gel battery?
Oh, okay. So,
what's a what else?
So, a gel battery is, all of these are lead acid batteries. They all are lead plates and an electrolyte acid mix that interacts and suspends an electrical charge in them. With a gel, they use a gel matrix to suspend it, which allows for charge dissipation, which is the natural process of a battery losing charge, to go much slower. They are far more stable under a wider range of clients and climates and usage conditions. You can take that the same battery that you're riding around with in over on Dutch Harbor, Alaska, will work just as well when you take it to Arizona. You just don't want to shock it by doing it from a one day period.
Instant teleportation.
No instant teleportation.
Acclimate it is what you're saying.
Don't teleport and ride, folks.
Jesus Christ. Yeah. These teleporters these days, man.
Yeah, man.
No sense of respect.
But yeah, I mean, so invest in a decent battery. It'll stop you from walking out there on the nice fall day that you finally had after 2 weeks of, you know, Portland rain.
Yep.
And finding a dead battery.
Yep.
And get yourself a trickle charger, a battery tender. There's lots of different varieties out. They've gotten to the point where they're all relatively similarly effective. There are differences. Do check to make sure that your tender is rated for the type of battery you have, whether a wet cell, AGM, gel. Do check to make sure that the manufacturer of your bike doesn't require specific trickle charger formats. There are different trickle charger formats. I'm looking at you, BMW.
Proprietary bullshit.
Well, I mean, it's even more than proprietary. They have such fine-tuned, well-engineered machines that if you go outside their thresholds, it starts screwing with stuff. And so it actually is important, especially if it's a
yes, but.
It's a yes, but.
I'm extra two BMW. Yeah. I understand.
And, just make sure that you check your warranty if you're getting a new bike, because sometimes there's warranty requirements on the trickle charger you use. So, oh, yeah,
that's a good note, because I would not have thought of that.
That's why I'm here, folks.
Okay.
Hey, Jacob. So your battery is dead. You're out in the middle of nowhere. You're at the bar. You don't have your trickle charger. Can somebody like give you a jump from a car or another motorcycle? Like, can you jump start a dead motorcycle battery?
The answer is yes, technically.
Oh, no. Okay.
I'm not going to go into the details of this because it varies a lot depending on which type of battery your bike has, not necessarily in whether it's a wet cell, AGM, or gel, but in what size battery it is. Mm. If somebody in a Ram 1500 pulls up and pulls out a set of jumper cables and offers to jump it for you, it's a very bad idea. You will end up with a blown up battery and potentially a fried wiring harness.
Okay. Will it actually blow up?
Well, when I say blow up, it'll suddenly be bulged.
Heard.
However, they do make motorcycle battery jumpers.
Oh,
cool.
I actually have one. Cool. I ride around with one nowadays. Where
sounds adorable.
I use it for myself more often when I'm doing work on bikes, but I carry it now on the road because there's been a couple times where I've had folks who were going to and from work day after day.
And going 22 miles an hour on those Portland streets.
And it's the end of the day and they got out and click, the bike's not turning on. And I pull my slightly larger than a large battery pack out, clip in the set of jumper cables to it. We clip them on the battery. Fire it up and you're off and running. I have the X3. I don't remember the manufacturer's name, but it works great. I've started batteries that have been completely dead with them. It works out real well.
So you said you have a separate battery?
No, it is it looks like a battery bank like you'd carry around to charge your cell phone. And in fact, mine can do that. It can actually run USB and laptops and jump cars.
That's awesome. Where do we get these?
Please provide a link.
Yeah. I will provide a link. You'll have to either come to the Discord for that. I'll be glad to do that. Bikers, Dice, and Bars, the Discord. Come join us. Ask me stupid motorcycle questions.
There's no such
thing as a stupid motorcycle question.
It's actually funny because my next question was could a motorcycle jump a car?
It is entirely possible. You need one of the bigger batteries. I have seen the Harley Davidson Screamin' Eagle actually jumpstart a car.
Wow.
Wild.
Yeah, it is entirely possible. But don't make a habit of it. Wait until every other car there has gone through and done it.
Call AAA first.
Call AAA. And like,
that's what they're for, that no-tell discounts.
Have full coverage roadside assistance. Yeah. Like, just... Yeah, anyway.
Absolutely know how to do it with your particular model motorcycle. It does vary a lot for a battery-to-battery jump as opposed to a designated jump starter, which has circuitry for current override and that sort of thing. But, you know, don't do it unless you have to.
My other question, too, is I'm sure this varies by person, but about on average, how long should a battery last? How does that work?
That depends on three factors. The size of battery, the type of battery, wet cell, AGM, gel, and the manufacturer.
Okay.
If you go to the Battery Exchange Northwest, which is where I buy most of my batteries from, I will literally drive from Hillsboro to inner southeast Portland to pick up a battery, even though I have to drive by six battery shops to do so.
37th and Belmont.
Oh, good to know.
You walk in, you give them the model. You call ahead, actually.
Call ahead.
You give them the model of your bike. you walk up there, and it's entirely possible that there'll be this guy standing behind the counter with three different batteries on the counter and go like, so these are the three that'll work with your bike. Here's the pros and cons. Boom, 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 boom. Here's the best value. This is, we'll do this. This will do that. And they've been reliable and honest for, and I've been working with them for over 8 years now.
There's an extra charge if you don't bring your old battery.
Yep.
Oh, right, because they recycle them.
They recycle
them. Yeah. They recycle them.
Oh, that's awesome.
And unlike some battery retailers that have, were busted in the last several years in the Portland area, they actually recycle them as opposed to dump them in Johnson Creek.
Wow. Is that our friends from the place I hate?
No, no, not at all.
Okay. Who shall not be named?
Yeah, yeah.
Looking for a reason to hate them more, Poppy?
I mean, usually.
Invest in good batteries. Invest in good battery tenders. Don't jumpstart your motorcycle unless you have to. And if you think that's going to be a possibility in your life, invest in decent equipment.
This is the last call for alcohol this evening. Drink up, drink up, drink up, and order again. This is the last call for alcohol. Get going. Drink up, drink up, drink up, then order again.
Let's close this out with a third Pelican beer.
Ooh.
And now that I've finished that sour, I'm switching over to Pelican Brewing's India Pale Ale Updrift. It's got a whole long thing that I'm not going to read, but it is 7.1% alcohol by volume.
Dang.
God, it's a beautiful sound. Unfortunately, wow. This is like the one Pelican that I don't actually like, but I understand it is different for everybody.
May I?
Yeah, it's
me.
Meh. Yeah, I don't hate it.
In the IBU, Jesus.
I don't hate it.
I don't hate it either.
Yeah, it's just bland. Yeah, it's kind of bland.
Very malty.
Yeah, I'll take it. Malty.
It's very malty, and that's the reason I didn't actually like it. I did
too hoppy for me.
I did go and blindly buy a 6-pack one day, and I was like, oh, this is why I use this great app called Untappd.
Mm.
And Untappd allows you to go and rate all the beers that you drink.
Oh, yeah, yeah, bring it. Oh. I mean, I'm all about the malt.
Jacob.
Yeah, there yeah, pass that over.
And it's a so multi-beer. Give it sometimes to me. When I don't remember what I like, I go on my Untappd app, and I go, did I like this or not? And then it tells me, and it's very nice like that. It's like...
See, that's I totally understand. There's nothing wrong with your opinions other than it's wrong. No.
Wow. I mean,
I did think Jacob was a cool guy, but I guess now I know I'm wrong.
No.
That was my opinion, man.
No, I totally get that malt is not everybody's thing.
I like it. I like malt, just not in my IPA.
Right. And I like this because it's this nice balance for me of not raw pine sap IPA and decent malt.
Malt belongs in shakes and milk balls.
Oh, word. This is why I married you.
That's it.
I'm never going to bring another stout for you again.
Things I've ever seen in my life.
Well, thanks for educating us tonight
on the
inner workings, the deep inner workings of motorcycle batteries.
Yeah,
and scooter batteries.
And scooter Jacob, batteries. I must also thank who walked me through various things that I needed to do to replace the battery. Ultimately, your directions were simply call Northwest Battery Exchange.
When it comes to, I don't know what battery I need, call Northwest Battery Exchange.
It's like, okay, do that color first, then the other color, and then do them in reverse. So, all right, cool, there we go.
Yeah, I mean... It ain't hard on bikes like yours. For other people where we're dismantling shit, it gets a little more complicated.
It's sort of like Northwest Batteries is sort of the call poison control.
Yes.
Right?
Now, what's fascinating is, now that I'm thinking about it, because I've been thinking about getting an electric bike, I'm guessing they have different batteries.
Oh, that's an entirely different ballgame.
That's a whole different show.
That is
a
whole different about that next
that
week.
Is where lithium batteries come in, and that is a completely different beast.
Someday, somebody will make an electric motorcycle that is short enough for me.
Someday. And someday, folks, you'll join us on our Discord.
Yes.
Or throw a tweet at me that I might respond to. Or pop us over.
I sent you a tweet.
Hello. Oh, yeah, Xander tweets at me. Xander, one of our listeners.
What? Why? Well, I do listen to the show. No, big fan.
What do you think of it?
It's pretty good.
Yeah.
It doesn't suck.
Yeah, it doesn't suck. All right, folks. I'm NPC.
I'm Just Jacob.
I love this show. Oh, I'm Dr. Xander Gerrymander.
And I am Poppy Beaujolais.
And again, we wish to remind you,
buy a trickle charger.
Always order rounds for the house.
Always drink those rounds.
And don't drive after you've done so.
Words of wisdom, folks. Thanks.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us, friend. We've reached the end of Bikers, Dice, and Bars.